You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Karsibayev.
My name is Lauren Jones. I am the founder of Leap Consulting Solutions. I provide services to the staffing and recruiting industry specifically. I really look at three areas of opportunity as it pertains to the way that we as an industry are essentially consuming technology. First and foremost is where I spend the majority of my time, and that's really helping companies wade their way through the sort of overabundance of technology. There's so much out there, good and bad, and you know, your small and mid-sized firms aren't going to have a VP of a digital transformation or a director of talent technology, you know, so I really come in to help them make the best decisions based on their core system, put the best stack together based on what their desired end functionality is. And then the second area is road mapping and partnership alignment. Oftentimes, you know, you'll see an initial product, but there just isn't long-term sustainability or alignment as it pertains to your goals and the technology's goals, and ensuring that you have roadmap alignment as it pertains to where you're going and where the technology is going is fundamental to ensuring a good return on your investment in the short and the long term. And then finally is the evangelization of your tech stack. I see a ton of firms invest millions of dollars in technology. They put one press release out and they're like, ta-da, everybody should know we're changed now, you know? And it's, there's so much more you need to give your recruiters and your salespeople and your executives really good morsels of talking points so that they can, in a really good, succinct way, communicate why they made this investment, how it makes them better, faster, stronger, and why it's going to make a difference to the customer they're trying to engage with. And so those are the three areas of opportunity I saw, and that's really where I focus a lot of my energy.
Well, that's exciting. And for us at ProSource IT, you know, we're a staffing organization in general, and so I'm very curious to get your take on a lot of the things that you currently provide to some of your clients, more specifically around what are the most effective tools that the staffing firms are not utilizing, yet they should, in order to optimize their efficiency, deliver better results for their clients, especially during the current times like these? Just curious to get your take on that.
You know, our industry has been inherently slow to adopt technology, and looking at it somewhat as maybe a competitor as opposed to, you know, something that can help them get their business done in a better way. And so some of the most effective tools I'm seeing today, obviously anything that has to do with video, whether it's video interviewing, virtual job fairs, anything that is going to improve the candidate experience and essentially bridge the gap of candidate and job. Remember, we sit right in the middle. And so you typically won't find me putting a bot as a first impression. However, I believe bots have a significant opportunity to help us get more efficient. After we've engaged with them, we make them feel like a human. You know, I've said this probably on every podcast, looking for a job sucks. And we have to remember and be sensitive to the fact that individuals are coming to perfect strangers asking for acceptance. So the user experience, regardless of, you know, what technology you're looking to adopt, has to be focused on candidate experience. Candidate experience is everything, and he who has the candidate at the end of the day will win. So any tools that will help you be more efficient in helping candidates solve problems, any tools that will help bridge the divide between when the candidate first engages or expresses interest in a job to the time they get that job, those are the technologies that we need to be spending our money on. So whether it's on demand to put the power of the job in the candidate's hands, whether it's video interviewing so we can reduce time to fill, those are the things that are going to make it easier for the candidate to quote unquote enjoy the job seeking experience.
Right, right, absolutely. Couldn't agree more with you on that, especially in current times, because everything being remote, the adoption of such technologies becomes even more paramount. And with the emergence of, you know, the traditional tools like Zoom and other video conferencing, I think, you know, there's never been easier, or, you know, the plethora of availability tools to be able to really, you know, optimize that candidate experience like you talked about, which is, you know, the same. I agree with you in terms of being that top priority for not only the employer, but also for the staffing firms in general, just to be, you know, to have that optimal experience for the candidates is extremely important. From your standpoint, and you obviously you do a lot of research on not only the technology for the staffing space, but just staffing in general, recruitment industry as a whole. What trends do you foresee will come out of the current times in the near future?
Well, I think that video just in general was not a tool that was really accepted in from a broad viewpoint, you know. I think that there were certain professional services that adopted some portions of it, but I think now we're infusing it in so many different ways. And so I think coming out of COVID, not only, and I'm really excited about the more acceptance at work from home, creating better balance, you know, although although I think, you know, we tend to go from one extreme to the next, right? We were working remotely and then we're working 18-hour days remotely. You know, we need to kind of bring it back to the middle, create some balance. But I think, you know, a couple really good things to come out of this pandemic is, first and foremost, you know, stay home when you're sick. Right? I think there's going to be a lot more acceptance around, you know, not coming to work or just trying to muscle through it when you're not feeling well. Secondly, is working from home. I mean, there are many that can now participate in the workforce because there is work from home that is more readily accepted. And I think the more that we can invite people into the workforce because we've allowed a broader flexibility, I think is only going to help all of us. And then, you know, obviously the technology tools that are going to power the people, give the power to the people. What I think is coming out of COVID is we're developing sort of at this warp speed on how do we give control to the job seeker? How do we get them to work? All those three things, I think, are the good things to come out of what's happened here. Is we are at breakneck speed trying to develop tools to empower the people.
Right, absolutely. You know, those are definitely interesting and relevant trends for the current times, and nobody could have predicted that. And, you know, a lot of companies, the job seekers, the, you know, their recruiting and staffing firms, everybody had to adapt. So definitely looking forward to some of the trends that are definitely going to come out of these times. Speaking of trends, advanced technologies such as, you know, RPA, machine learning, artificial intelligence, they're reinventing a lot of industries as a whole, you know, staffing as well, no exception here. How do you think these trends will impact the, you know, kind of the staffing and recruitment space from innovation standpoint? And what are your thoughts on kind of the best, the most effective strategies to adopt such technologies?
It's a fantastic question. And, you know, I have my own personal battles with, we're, you know, $160 billion, you know, in relationship industry, right? And I feel like we owe it to the candidate to put all of our eggs in enhancing relationships. So automation, AI, machine learning, where it's helping us predict when candidates will be available, you know, analytics as to how we're going to, again, reduce time to fill, get candidate from not working to working in the shortest span of time. That's where I'd like to see us focus our energies, and where I'd like to see us focus machine learning and AI. And then in the middle, you know, when there is problem resolution, because problems will arise. And so how do we help them be more self-sufficient? How do we, you know, insert a bot in there to say, okay, tell us a little bit about the problem with your paycheck, or tell us a little bit, and if they need to be connected to a human, then they're connected to a human, or tell us a little bit more about how you want to change your schedule. I think that AI, machine learning can help us enhance the entire experience without replacing what's so fundamental from a relationship perspective. And I feel the way that we are going to stay relevant with so much automation is if we walk this beautiful balance of applying all of this technology to further our relationships and better equip the candidate with, you know, information and the hottest jobs in the shortest amount of time. And, you know, information is power. And if we can inform them as expeditiously as possible, we'll all win.
Right. Absolutely. And just to add to that, I've recently, you know, I interview a lot of executives from different companies, various size, and I got a chance to talk to a gentleman. He's the CEO of a competency-based technology platform that uses AI extensively, especially during that interview process, where they administer specific tests, or the AI engine actually looks for certain patterns in the interviewer's behavior. So those are just some of the exciting examples that we're experiencing right now that, you know, in general, our industry could really benefit from and really optimize and streamline a lot of the operations and hopefully experience that candidate onboarding interview process.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to, look, technology is going to enable us. It should be an enabler. And I saw a technology, I did a Tech Tuesday on it. It's a glider that does assessments, and their AI can actually tell the interviewer that, hey, you know, you might have some cheating going on here, or perhaps this developer isn't actually putting in, you know, there's some copy pasting going on. And those are the types of things that will help us stay really efficient, help us communicate quickly with the person that's interviewing or doing the assessment. And that's what I'm saying. The technology should be enablement.
Yeah, absolutely. And funny you mentioned Glider. You know, I also recently interviewed Satish Kumar, the CEO of Glider AI. And, you know, they're doing some really cool stuff in that same space, competency-based assessments. And it's just exciting, a lot of the different tools that are coming out to really kind of put the entire staffing industry is kind of that innovator in that space. So that, you know, I'm definitely stoked about that. So speaking of innovation, especially during current times where, you know, a lot of companies are in that almost, you know, perseverance mode. It's, you know, innovation is not really a top priority, but from your standpoint, what strategies or even tools do you recommend some of your clients, you know, staffing firms to invest in order to come up with creative ways to solve problems for some of their clients?
Yeah, I would say automate where you can automate, right? So I'm working with a number of companies right now where I think it was the CEO of LinkedIn who said, you know, don't apply old analog processes, you know, to new technology, you know, capability. And so that's what I think this time right now is for, and where I'm spending a lot of energy is really going, how do we look at your business process? Don't try and define your technology by an old process. Look at the technology, look at how it can redefine your business process and help make you more efficient. And things like, again, on demand to help augment your repetitive business, make it more self-service while you can focus your energies on, say, more professional services, so you have a better balanced book of business. The tools that can put the power of finding the job in the candidate's hand. I love what JobCase is doing with the online career fairs with a video interview functionality. Anything where we can reduce the time that an individual is out of work and make it as easy as possible to get them to work is where we need to focus our energies, and where innovation is happening right now is in that very area, probably by force, right? Because of everything that's gone on. And so my recommendation to firms right now is where you can automate. So tools like Sense and HereFish, where you have workflow process automation, you have engagement automation, you have engagement analytics, really robust a reporting mechanism to be able to understand and mitigate fall off. I used Sense in a way that was really profound because it helped me identify when I had somebody that was unhappy in a much shorter span of time. I had this project where we had significant fall off in the first 2 weeks, you know, which was training. And so how do you fix that? Well, you find out faster that they're not happy. And that comes through automation of how was your first date? Tell me about it. How would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 5? And so any automation that's going to help you understand candidate behavior and help you mitigate fall off or help you resolve the problem and improve retention, I think is going to help help everybody win. And then redeployment. I mean, as an industry, we have a dismal reputation as it pertains to redeployment. Statistics as far as, you know, 80% of the time we put somebody to work one time, which is a huge waste of resources. And so, you know, I love technologies, programmatic, where programmatic job postings, and then anything that will help with redeployment, I think are going to create efficiencies and profitability across the board for all parties involved. I love programmatic because not only does it allow you to control where the job goes, but it allows you to control the inflow, which helps you with reputation management. You know, if you have one singular job and you put it out and you get 3,000 responses, your recruiters are still responsible for responding to 3,000 people. And so tools that will help you control outflow and inflow, reputation management, candidate engagement automation. Those are the things that are going to make us better, faster, stronger, and keep us relevant.
Right. Absolutely. Those are some really great examples, and I'm personally familiar with some of these tools and leverage on a daily basis. So definitely couldn't agree more with you with finding ways to automate, you know, and, you know, even delegate some of the repetitive tasks to technology in order for you to focus on something that's, you know, a lot higher priority, such as, you know, building relationships, for example, with the decision makers. So that's exciting. Definitely thank you for providing some of these examples. So Lauren, you work with staffing firms from various industries, I understand. And when it comes to attracting top talent and very niche talent, for example, for IT, what strategies do you deploy or help, you know, recommend organizations to utilize that would allow them to really attract that top, very niche talent?
That is an amazing question. And when I read it, I was like, you know, well, what do I do? You know, as a salesperson, right? I have a very specific audience that I'm trying to capture. So what do I do? Well, first and foremost, I did my research, right? I understand my audience. I'm engaging in a really consistent, authentic way. And that is making all of the difference. Well, recruiting talent is no different. You need to understand where they are. You need to understand how they engage. And then you need to be where they are and meet them where they are. And so I think if you can do that in a real and authentic way, then you're going to attract the right talent, particularly on the IT side. You know, they don't engage the way a traditional candidate does. So you need to go where they are and engage in that way. And, you know, I remember having a conversation about LinkedIn specifically as it pertains to IT talent. And they're like, you know, well, we drifted away from LinkedIn because, you know, recruiters, recruiters, recruiters. And so how do we engage with them in a real, authentic way where they are? And that is knowing your audience, knowing how to engage, doing your research, and really providing a call to action, and you're solving a problem. You have to be able to have your value prop very, very clear when it comes to IT talent specifically. You know, how are you going to help them get their next best project? And, you know, in that particular space, they want flexibility. You know, they don't necessarily look at going from project to project as a bad thing. So how do you provide that? But again, that's knowing your audience, know where they are, meeting them where they're at. Yeah, I ended my sentence with a preposition, but that's okay. I think it's do your research, be consistent, and know your audience that you're trying to attract.
Right, absolutely. Seems so simple, yet often overlooked, you know, just to really do your homework and try to connect with, you know, whoever your audience is at a personal level. without, you know, hiding behind the email, or really try to target where maybe there's a specific meetup or an event that's going on where you are able to really connect with that target audience. So I love that advice. I love that recommendation. And Lauren, from your standpoint, as you work with staffing companies of various industries, where do you see the biggest potential? Where the most growth is currently happening from a recruitment and staffing firm perspective when we talk about different industries?
Oh, where do I see the most growth? Oh my goodness. Well, I mean, I seem to be having almost a daily conversation in regards to on-demand tools. And whether it's healthcare, which is having a, is booming right now, or whether it is other more repeatable skill sets. I mean, I think we're gonna see hospitality come back around. Let's, hope, right?
Absolutely.
Healthcare is obviously having having a moment, good, bad, or indifferent, and we have to be able to service them appropriately. And I still think there are some very archaic practices going on the healthcare side.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right?
You nailed it on the head, you know, the really kind of outdated technologies, and I'm sure, you know, telemedicine, e-health is just something, you know, I'm sure it becomes a big part of the conversations you're having with some of your healthcare clients. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I still see, you know, I have a bunch of my family members in healthcare, and I still see paper time cards, and I'm like, what is going on here? What's happening? My sister-in-law was like, I need to go get my time card signed. And I literally almost fell out of my seat. Cause there needs to be some more automation there. And so I'd love to see healthcare, you know, expand it. And I hear right and left of purchases and innovation happening on the healthcare side. I definitely see and have heard on-demand tools in particular that are focused solely on healthcare and healthcare alignment and shift alignment and better management. But that also has to coincide with, you know, back office functionality, which is often overlooked in some of these on-demand tools. So you got to have both if you're going to do it.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned back office and that whole kind of the payroll, the administration, the invoicing. It's also kind of relevant to healthcare. So outdated, yet it's a backbone of every staffing organization or every corporate talent acquisition department. And, you know, there's so much opportunity to improve that space. That's, you know, you nailed it on the head. There's so much opportunity and trends that are really coming out of, not only because of the current markets, but, you know, the need to stay competitive. So that's very, I can agree more with you on that. Lauren, last but not least, what are you currently reading, and what is one book that you always recommend to others, and why?
Oh, so, what am I reading? I was actually reading the Consulting Bible, which because I'm a consultant, and there's some really great morsels of wisdom in there. I love How Women Rise. I've talked about the book ad nauseum, and it's brilliantly written. And I am a huge advocate for women in the workplace and rising one another up. Women Crush Wednesday is one of my biggest days, but I feel fiercely about supporting women. So How Women Rise is one that I always recommend. But I am an oldie, but a goodie is good to great. I mean, you cannot go wrong with good to great. It's one that I would recommend to every customer who's, you know, looking at, you know, making some changes and how you can take your organization, which is, you know, I always say it's simple, but not easy. Simple fundamental truths about growing your business the right way in an authentic way and maintaining the balance of, you know, growing a business with finance in mind, but people first.
I love these recommendations, Lauren, and definitely for our listeners, we're going to make those titles available in the episode notes. Lauren, can't thank you enough for your time and lent expertise. I know it was a short conversation, but packed with a lot of great advice, recommendations. I know you're very busy trying to help improve our industry, staffing, recruitment in general. So I definitely thank you for your time, and I'm looking forward to staying in touch and grow together.
I am so honored you asked me on here, and thank you so much for having me. This has been an awesome conversation.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.